morning, Saints. First of all, it's definitely a privilege to be able to stand before you this Lord's Day to present God's Word. Let's also make sure we keep our evangelist in prayers as he's on vacation and sightseeing. No, I'm just joking. But he is out there, I believe, at Polishing the Pool Pit in Tennessee. It's an opportunity for him to go out and be amongst his peers and sharpen his sword, as I'm pretty sure he is sharpening theirs, and that we should be praying for his safe return. One of the things that we've been studying over the past quarter is the minor prophets, from the book of Hosea to the book of Malachi. We read about these 12 books, and we call them minor prophets not because of the things that they had to say that is less than the major prophets, but it's because of what how much they wrote. Right, some of their letters and books are very small. And the book that I'm going to be focused on today is probably the smallest in the Old Testament, and that is the book of Obadiah. And if you want to find the book of Obadiah, we're going to turn there in a minute, but before we get there, I want to make sure I give a background on the book of Obadiah so we all can understand what's going on. And the book of Obadiah can be found between Amos and Jonah in the Old Testament. And the book of Obadiah is actually just one chapter, 21 verses. But here's a statement that you will find several times in the Bible. You will find this statement: Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And like I said, it's written several times in the Bible. You can find it in Romans chapter 9, and I want to say verse number 27. And you also can find it in Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And you may ask yourself, why would God say that? Why would God say, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated? Those are very strong words coming from God, saying that he hated Esau. And the book of Obadiah is going to explain why God feels this way. Why does God feel this way towards Esau? But it's not really towards Esau itself. And that is what we're going to learn. We're going to learn about pride of a nation. Right? And we're going to look at this nation and why God decided to destroy them. And the lesson, and hopefully what we can get from this lesson, is that we can see ourselves, sadly, I think, and this is just my opinion, is that we can see ourselves as a nation in the book of Obadiah. But before we go into the book of Obadiah, we have to understand the background. We have to understand the background, because if you don't understand the background of why God is writing to a country or nation called Edom, and you may ask yourself, what is Edom? And because you don't find the word Edom too many times in the New Testament. But if you are a student of the Old Testament, which the people of the Lord's church should be, you will understand what the nation of Edom is. And for us to understand that, let's go all the way back to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. And I'm going to briefly try to give a background as to what's going on and what led to the pride of this nation. Because it's important for us to understand this. And in Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 19, we see that, and I'm going to be paraphrasing some of these verses, but in Genesis chapter 25, starting at verse number 19, you have a situation where you have Isaac and his wife Rebekah, right? And Isaac is about 40 years old, and Isaac does not have any children. And so we pick up in verse number 21, and it says, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebecca was conceived. And the children struggled within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I like this? And she went and inquired of the Lord. So what we see right now is what's going on is that Isaac, who is the son of Abraham, just like Abraham, right, when it came to having Isaac, Abraham had to wait until God blessed him with his son Isaac. Isaac is asking the Lord, like, Lord, I don't have any children. We see Isaac asking and seeking the Lord for an answer. And not only that is that even his wife asks the Lord for an answer. We're going to get to that point in a minute. But when we talk about the book of Obadiah, again, this book is about a nation. And in order for us to understand the nation of Edom comes from the lineage of Esau. And we know a little bit about Esau, and we're going to go a little study a little bit more about Esau. But the battle between Israel and Edom didn't start in the book of Obadiah. It started in the womb. This battle, this war between two nations started way before they were born. How do I know this? Let's continue to read verse number 23. Because we have Rebecca asking the Lord, like, why am I feeling like this? There's something going on inside of me, right? And God is going to answer her question. And it says, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So way in the beginning, before either one of these two children were born, we can see they're already battling in the womb. And what we're going to see is that as I continue to go through this background, you're going to see the two nations and how the two nations went about their existence. And by the time we get to the book of Obadiah, God is going to be fed up with one nation. And we're going to see why this is happening. And we continue to read in verse 24. And when her days were to be delivered was fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. So Esau was the older brother. Right. As a matter of fact, that we see when we look at Esau, it said that he was red all over, right, like a hairy garment. And then after that, she had a son by the name of Jacob. Now, if you continue to read verse number 26, we see that Jacob, when Esau was born, that Jacob grabs Esau's heel. Right. And the word Jacob in its name in itself means a deceiver, a supplanter. And that right there is going to tell you a little bit about Jacob's personality, his makeup. He was a trickster. He was a trickster, right? And so much so that when it came to these two sons, that they were different, way different than each other. In verse number 27, it said that Esau was a hunter. He was a manly man, right? He loves to go out and hunt, and he was Isaac's favorite. But Jacob was the one that hung around the tents, and his mom favored him. So we see that there's a difference between the two. When they were in the womb, they were fighting. And they're so different as brothers. But we go on, and verse number 29 is the beginning of why God had so much hate for the children of Edom. But we're going to see how it gets to that point. And in verse number 29, it says that Jacob saw a pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, that some red pottage, for I faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at a point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do for me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him and sold him his birthright. So we have to understand what's going on here, right? We have Esau, he's coming in from hunting, and he's hungry. And just like Jacob's makeup, trickster, He proposes a situation. He said, I will give you this pottage. I will give you this bowl of soup or lentils if you sell me your birthright. Now, when we look at the birthright is very important. It's very key. The birthright is something that God, right, when it comes to the lineage of the patriarchs, that the oldest always received the birthright. And he would get a double portion of the inheritance. Not only that, the most important part is that he becomes the spiritual leader of the family. And the thing that God had a problem with Esau is because we have to understand that the lineage of Christ comes through that birthright. And Esau was a carnal man, so much so that he didn't value the birthright that God has given. He didn't value the blessing that God has bestowed upon him. Who does that sound like? God has blessed each and every one of us. He has gave us all blessings. Yes, God does bless the world, but God gives his people special blessings, spiritual blessings. Each and every one of us have a direct line of communication to God. God has separated us from the world. And we treat God and the blessing that God has given us just like Esau treated his birthright. He treated it as something common. In Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us that Esau was a profane person. It's because that word profane is alluding to that Esau was treating something that was special as something common. And if you look in this building today, we got so many members that are missing. They're treating God's blessing, the blessing to come and worship the only true God, as something common. They think it's just, God accept me anyway. God loves me anyway. Do you know how special it is to be able to stand and before God and offer him your worship? It is special. It's one of the most special things that we have as Christians. And yet we have people today that treat it as a common thing. So we have to understand what Esau was doing. He sold his birthright for just think about that. He sold his birthright for some soup. What are we selling our blessing for? A football game? More sleep? A theme park? Think about it. What are we selling our blessing for? So we see that Esau gave up something that was precious, the most precious thing that he could have, to be a part of the Savior's lineage. And he treated it as if it was nothing. God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. The most precious thing we got, and we treat it as if it's nothing. So we see that when it comes to Esau and Jacob, that the dynamics between the two, that Esau was a person he treated the things of God as if it was common. Not only that, is that if you continue to read the story, and we're not going to go too far into the story, if you continue to read the story, we see that Jacob, Mr. Trickster, tricks Esau again, this time by obtaining the blessing. He tricks his father, and his mother was behind it. He tricks his father into giving him the blessing. But you know, we're not going to go too far into it, but Jacob, when you reap what you sow, and Jacob himself got tricked when it came to marrying his wife. But the point I want you to understand is that nowhere in the Bible do we see Esau mention the name God. He doesn't seek God. He doesn't repent for selling his birthright. He repented for giving his birthright, but he doesn't repent to God for what he did. Why? Because he was proud. That was beginning in the seeds of a prideful nation. Esau was a man that never sought God. But God loved Esau. And we see that if you continue to read the story, that Esau, after Jacob took Esau's birthright, Esau sought to kill him. But Jacob escaped. And as time went by, they came and reconciled back together. But the damage was done. Because Esau, even though he made up with his brother, he never made it right with God. So let's jump 400 years. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2. So we see we got two nations that are going against each other, right? We have two brothers. And we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse number 1. Now, this is one thing about God. God is long-suffering. Now, I did state that in the beginning of my lesson, how God hated Esau. But God hasn't gotten to that point yet. God is still showing love and long-suffering to the lineage of Esau. How do we know this? Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse number 1. Then we turned and took our journey unto the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed about Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye shall compass this mountain long enough, turn you northward, and command thou the people, saying, ye are passing through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which is dwelt in Mount Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I would not give you their land, no, not such as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. God bless the lineage of Esau. God is showing his love. Even though Esau has never sought God, God is still reaching his hand out to the nation of Esau or the nation of Edom. See, that's the same thing God does with us. God is long-suffering. God loves us. He wants us to love him. He wants us to obey him. God blessed Esau with this land, and we're going to talk about this land in a minute, and his lineage with this land. So God blessed Esau. Now watch what Esau does to the children of Israel. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Now, this in Numbers chapter 20, this is Moses and the children of Israel, and they are about to try to go into the promised land. And they have to pass through the area of the children of Esau, or the Edom. In verse number 14, and Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all our travail and have befallen us, how our fathers went into Egypt and have dwelt in dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city of uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields, nor through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right nor to the left, until we pass thy borders. Now watch Edom's reply. Edom said unto them, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink any of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on feet. And he said, thou shalt not, this is Edom, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. And Edom refused to give Israel passage to his borders. Wherefore, Israel turned away from him. This is his brother. Remember, Israel and Edom are brothers from the lineage of Jacob and Esau. Israel's trying to go to the promised land, and Edom said no. Israel just say, we just want to cut right through your backyard. We won't disturb anything. We won't mess around with anything. If we damage anything, we'll pay you for it. And Edom says no. Why? Because of their pride. See, that their pride that Esau had, not seeking God, has manifested itself into hatred for their own brother. Now, here's the illustration I want to show you. Look at that illustration. I put up there, this is the family that feuds. If you look at the bottom row, I got Esau and I have Jacob's descendants, Israel and Edom. But look at the other nations. Think about that. They all came from the families of who? Abraham. Can you imagine that family reunion? Think about that. These people were fighting against each other. The family that fused. Now, you know, I admit, you know, I have some members of my family that don't get along, right? They don't. You know, my mother and her, some of her sisters like oil and water. They just don't mix, right? They don't get along most of the time. But when it comes to taking care of each other, they're always there for each other. Always there for each other. And we see that all of these nations are they're related. And if you're a student of the Bible, you will find that they're always fighting each other, always killing each other. Why? Because of pride. We see that Edom, Esau, his lineage, they grow into a great nation. So much so that they're always fighting back and forth with the children of Israel. Their own brother. Their own brother. So we see that when we look at the background of what's going on and what led up to God saying he hates Edom. Now we could turn to the book of Obadiah. Let's look at the book of Obadiah. Let's see why God has so much disdain for the nation of Edom. Now, the book of Obadiah is written 1,000 years later from Numbers. So we see that 1,000 years has passed since Edom told Israel they could not pass through their backyard. So Edom has grown stronger. They have become a nation. And God is about to announce judgment on the nation of Edom. Now let's look at Obadiah. Verse number 1. In the vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard rumors from the Lord, and ambassadors is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathens, though are greatly despised. Now, if you want to know what is the whole theme of this book, verse number 3 tells you. The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cliff of the rocks, who inhabitest is high, that saith in their hearts, who shall bring me down to the ground? For thou hast exalted thyself as an eagle, as though thou hast set thee nest among the stars, lest that I will bring thee down, saith the Lord. They were prideful. They were prideful. And the pride that they had is the pride of false security. Here's the thing, is that when you look at the nation of Edom, right, and if you can see that diagram there, you see that I have in blue, that is the northern kingdom, in mustard color, that is the southern kingdom. But right below that, you see the kingdom of Edom. And Edom, the kingdom of Edom, set in the mountains. And their whole entire kingdom was built into the mountains. And that's why God said that they set themselves so high, because in order to get to Edom, you had to pass through narrow paths through the mountain. It was impregnable. No army could get into it, because they had some, the way that they were situated into the mountains, it was hard for them for an enemy to come and take hold of their country. They were well off into the mountains, and you had to go through these narrow paths in order to get to them. So what did that do? It made them prideful for where their location was. They thought that no nation could take them down. They've been there for thousands of years, and not one nation has taken them down. They got prideful, because they had this land, and that they were totally secure as to where they were. But listen what God tells them in verse number 5. But these, if thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how thou art cut off, and would thou not have stolen until thou had enough? And if grape gatherers gather came to thee, would they not leave grapes, some grapes? God is telling Edom, he's telling them, yes, you're so prideful that you think that even if somebody get through our defenses and they take some of our stuff, they can't take all of it. That's how prideful they are. Even if somebody gets through, they won't take all our treasures. That's how cocky and confident they are. But God tells them in verse number 6, how are these things Esau searched out, which are hidden through things sought up? God is telling them that when I come through, I'm going to take everything. I'm going to destroy everything, because your pride has lifted you up. You have a false sense of security. You know, and I think about our country. We have the best military in the world. How do I know this? Because I served 30 years. And not only that, is that my job currently right now, I work with foreign nations in their military. I see the capabilities we have versus the capabilities other nations have. It doesn't even come close. Not even close. But one thing we need to understand, don't let our patriotism turn into pride. The only national security we have, true national security we have, is in God. Just like Edom. Edom thought they couldn't be brought down. But God brought them down. Look how God brought them down. Look at the next verse. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the borders. The men which I have peace with thee have deceived thee. God is telling them, the people that I'm going to use to destroy you are your very friends. The people that you align yourself with, these are the people that I'm going to have to take you out. Church, we have to be careful who we align ourselves with. God has separated us for a purpose. If you have friends that are of the world, yeah, they may be good people, but they don't have your spiritual mind at heart. Don't take comfort in the things of the world. And we see that Edom took comfort in their location as to their security. They took comfort in the allies and the treaties that they had. But God is saying that I'm going to use these very things against you. I'm going to tear you down. Let's continue to read. Verse number 8. And thou shalt in that day saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men of Edom, understanding out of the mount of Esau. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that everyone in the mount of Esau shall be cut off by slaughter. God said, I don't care about your mighty men. I don't care about your army. I don't care about how wise you think you are. Church, when God wants something destroyed, it will be destroyed. And that goes for our nation. If you pay attention to each one of the points God has, it's describing America today. We got people that are prideful. They say they don't need God. To the point where if you bring up God, that they tell you you're using hate speech. That they try to shut you down. They try to, quote unquote, cancel you. We've gotten so caught up in our pride as a nation that God is in the rearview mirror. Not only that, is that we got so caught up in our nation that we rely and think that our wisdom, how smart we are, we're technically advanced, that we can turn boys to girls, girls to boys. Thumbing ourselves at God. Just thumbing our nose up at God. These scientists are playing as if they're God. This is America. This right now at this point, if you look in this building, where's everybody? This is America. And we see that when it comes to Edom, God is going to destroy them. But I want you to pay attention to the next verses I'm about to read. This is truly the saddest part of the book. This is showing how Edom treated his fellow brother Israel. See, what's going on is that Israel is being attacked by a foreign nation. And watch what Edom does. Verse number 10. And thy violence against thy brother Jacob shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. And the day thou stoodest on the other side, and the day that the stranger carried away captives, his force, and foreigners enter into thy gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou was one of them. Nations came in, invaded Israel, and Edom just watched by. Just think about that. Think about your brother. Now, I didn't have a brother, but I had some cousins, right? And one thing that I took advantage of it all the time, but when I was in high school, I was a small frame kind of guy, right? But I had lip. I would talk my way into something, right? And when it comes to like after school and if I was about to fight somebody bigger than me, I had no problem. Why? Because I had big cousins on the way. I knew that if somebody was going to beat me up, I had my big cousins waiting for me. And don't let me see them in the background. Oh, I'm talking trash now. You know, I'm talking a lot of lip because I know they had my back. Here, your brother Edom, they're seeing their brothers be attacked. They stood by and watched. Hey, go on in. Yeah, go on in. Destroy them. Not only that, Look at the next verse. But thou shouldst not have looked upon the day of thy brother in the day that thou became that he became a stranger. Thou shouldest not have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of that day, or actually bragging and rejoicing to see their brother get destroyed. They're being slaughtered. Can you imagine that? That's how much hatred and pride has manifested itself over time because of Esau. They didn't know any better because they never sought God. They're allowing themselves to look and have their brothers be destroyed and not even get involved. Not only that, guess what? They participated. The next verse. And thou shalt not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, they should not have looked upon their affliction in their day, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. They came and participated. As Israel was getting destroyed and Judah was getting invaded, instead of helping out, they chipped in. They saw a time to take advantage of their brother. Instead of trying to stop what was going on, they went in and took some things also. They looted them. But here's the most saddest part, the next verse, verse 14. Neither should thou have cast off, stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape, neither should thou have delivered them up of his that remained in the day of distress. Guess what they were doing? When people were trying to escape, they blocked the way. Not only that, when people were hiding, they were seeking them. Hey, they over there. Think about that. This is how far Edom has come. Because of pride. If we're not teaching our children to worship and to love God, this is what's going to happen, and we're seeing it in our nation today. Now, I'm only 50 years old. I know we got members in here in their 80s and in their 70s. They can remember, I know they have to be thinking to themselves, what in the world is going on with this country? It's being turned upside down. Why? Because pride of a nation. Mankind cannot get along with each other in this country. You turn on the news, all you see is violence. Shootings everywhere. Why? Because brothers can't get along. Turn with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Read, start at verse number 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, shall he also reap. For if he soweth to his flesh, shall all of the flesh reap corruption. But if he soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reach life everlasting. And listen to this. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I have seen congregations split because brothers can't get along, because of pride, because of envy. So we see that when it comes to Edom, why God said, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. It's because of one man. What examples are we setting for our family? If we are living a life as if we don't need God and that we're prideful, guess what's going to happen to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren? You're breeding a prideful nation. Esau. When it comes to Esau, he never saw God. And we see the results, what happened 1,400 years later. His people was destroyed. God sent Obadiah to deliver this message. And not only Obadiah, you can find what God had in store for Edom. You can find it in Ezekiel chapter 37 or in Jeremiah chapter 49. Even in Malachi. God wanted to make sure that a lot of the minor prophets had that message put out there, that Edom knew what was in store for them, that they were eventually going to be destroyed. So don't take comfort in the status that you have. Don't take comfort in the position that you have. Don't take comfort in the financial gain that you have. Instead, thank God, because it's because of him that he's blessed you with it. Don't be like Edom. Edom was so prideful that it wished destruction and participate destruction. Think about that. His own brother. To watch your own brother be destroyed. So, when we learn about the nation of Edom, pride of a nation, do we see ourselves? Maybe you have not been seeking God. Maybe your attitude towards God was the same as Esau. Maybe you've had so much pride that you wish harm on your brother and sister. This is the time to get it right. It's the time to come and to ask God for forgiveness for those who are Christians. For those who have yet not to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't have a relationship with God. So your destruction is going to be coming. Don't you want to be a part of the nation, the Christian nation, that God had in store and that God has in his book, the kingdom that God created? Don't you want to be a part of that nation? Or do you want to end up like Edom? The one thing about God is that when God's wrath comes out, y'all, It's like boiling. You ever had put a pot on the stove and you put rice in there and the rice is starting to bubble up and rice is coming out? You cannot put those contents back in the pot. When God's wrath comes out, there's no stopping it until he's done. He's going to achieve what he wants to achieve. And if you're not a part of God's kingdom, you're going to be a part of God's wrath. And if you have pride like this nation, you're going to be a part of God's wrath. But guess what? God's loving, just like he loved Edom and Esau descendants for 1,400 years, he loves you today. He's giving you an opportunity right now. Don't let it go by. Because you never know when your day will come as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Amen.